All right, here we go. Hey, look, we got Jackal Monkey on the fly, and boy, do we have a good one tonight. Are you with us, sir? Hey, you might. There you go. Unmuted. You made it, man. You made it. It's been a kind of already a shitstorm, as our guest, Mr. Ron Sloan, has made mention of. He jumped in just a few minutes before we went live. Facebook was giving me the bad baby, you didn't start on time kind of thing. So I started it. Hey, I was like, all right, Jackal Monkey, jump in when he gets here. Welcome, sir.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, hopefully Ron will be joining us soon.
No, he's in the backstage. He's waiting. I've got him locked and loaded. I've got Junior locked and loaded, man.
Sweet, good deal.
So, but before we get into that, that's all right. Take a deep breath. I know it was a very nervous, anxiety-ridden way to start the show, but it would not be the night of the living dreads if it wasn't. I'm Otis B. Dreads, of course, Jackal Monkey there. How's your day been? And tell everybody where they can get a mask, man.
Yeah, hit me up on Facebook, Nightmare Ninja Studios. We'll make the nightmares become a reality. I do all kinds of custom latex pieces, and like I said, just, you know, the world is your oyster when it comes to masks, and I'm here to make that happen.
Oh yeah,
it won't break the bank.
It won't. It will not break the bank. And we are coming up on spooky season. If you're one of them normal people who don't consider spooky season all year round. Yes, Halloween, which it's Halloween for all of us, or some of us all year round. There you go. Hit them up. Of course, NightLivingDreads.com, also down there. We have all of these great interviews that we've had during the Summer of Slaughter. And we've had quite a few individuals from the Friday the 13th series, and this is no different right here, because I mean, you don't really get, you know, a Summer of Slaughter without mentioning Friday the 13th. And and how can you think of Friday the 13th without thinking of that guy
right now? Right, absolutely. I mean,
come on, Junior Hubbard, come on, man. So I guess without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Ron Sloan. Ron.
Hey, woo!
Woo! What an introduction that was. Look, I didn't even have to put it up. It's right over your shoulder there. That's a great painting.
Oh, other shoulder.
There you go. Who did that painting there?
A wonderful artist, good buddy of mine named Neil Warner, who used to paint up at Universal City Walk, and really talented guy. That was a wonderful gift. And he has a website, Rock and Roll Rehab, and he has a book called Paper Cuts. So yeah, very cool, man. Yeah. The guy's awesome.
Awesome. And I also see right underneath your painting there, looks like a head.
That is the real deal.
Is it really? Yeah. Because that was actually one of my questions. Here we go. We're going to see the actual real deal of the...
That's it. No.
Oh, my God.
That's so awesome.
And Jackal Monkey, you got to be in awe, because you're a special effects guy, a mask guy, and Ron, that is, when you say the real deal, that is the one that rolled on the ground after the machete.
That's
wow.
The movie.
It's beautiful.
There you go. Well, before we get into the Friday the 13th, tell us, we'll just get the future projects you're working on and such now. We'll get that out of the way, and then we can talk a little more in depth about Friday the 13th.
Well, as you probably know, I'm very fortunate enough to have a starring role in a up-and-coming feature film called 13 Fanboy. And I got to tell you, this one, you guys are going to be thrilled, actually. Really. Awesome. And I get to work with Dee Wallace. Everybody see from Cujo, The Hills Have Eyes, The Howling. I mean, she's done over 200 films. So
right.
I'm so lucky to just be able to work with her. She is amazing. And you're going to dig this. You know, you remember when Aliens came out, you know, they said in space, no one can hear you scream. Yeah, and that was
Yes. Pretty powerful.
Well, in the theater, everybody's going to hear you scream because this is a high body count. This is really, I would almost say like a thriller. You know, it's a thriller slash horror. It's not just a horror. I mean, this is really scary. So,
oh, can't wait for that one. What else did
October,
what else
October
do you have?
22nd, October.
Yes, 22nd. That's right.
And there'll be a trailer out. I wish I could show you guys, but the trailer is insane. I get, you know, I've seen the trailer like 100 times now, and I get every time I see it. So, yeah, I played it at Flashback Weekend and Mad Monster Party. It was pretty wild. Oh, I should say just Flashback Weekend. I didn't have it till Flashback. So very cool.
Awesome.
Nice.
Go ahead.
You know, Vince DeSante, he did Never Hike Alone, Never Hike in the Snow. There's a project sort of on the back burner that looks like I'll be working with him probably at the end of the year, something like that.
Nice.
Whatever, who knows?
Nice.
That's about it until you guys, till now. This is it, the moment.
Well, there we go, the moment. Now let's get into, I guess, because I told Jackal Monkey, I was like, I got to open it up with future projects, what you're working on. I knew 13 Fanboy was going to come out. Ms. Deborah Voorhees, very, very talented when it comes to directing as an actress. And,
she's brilliant in this one. She's brilliant. And, you know, we have Kane Hodder, CJ.
Yes.
Lar Park Lincoln, oh my God.
Right.
Savage, Judy Aronson. I mean, the list goes on and on.
It's almost like a Friday the 13th alumni, you know, in a sense.
It actually is. And if this doesn't fulfill that yearning you have for not seeing any Friday the 13th in quite a while, this cast is spectacular. I got to tell you.
And again, October 22nd.
Yep. And that's coming out on In Demand, in theaters, Blu-ray, DVD.
Oh, yes.
Some drive-ins, too. So this is, yeah.
That's so awesome.
In our cars. How awesome is
that? Right? That's so awesome.
Yeah. Do it old school, you know, old 70s. Right? I love it.
The right way.
So,
Jackal Monkey, why don't you go ahead and get into your Friday the 13th talk? I know you got a bunch of questions for Ron.
Oh yeah,
the floor is yours.
I've got a few for sure. One of the big ones I was gonna, the fight scene between you and John Shepard, the guy who played Tommy Jarvis in Part 5. How long did it take you guys to do that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because stunt coordinator Dick Warlock choreographed the fight scene. So,
that's all.
You know, here, John and I have no experience beating each other up, you know. So he's showing John how to throw a punch and do this, and I'm to react like this. So, you know, everybody stays safe and everything. And in the rehearsal with the stuntman, he knocks me out. Yeah, he connected. I'm on the ground. And I'm like, geez, do I get hazard pay for this or what? And so he apologized and everything. Of course, he blames it on me. Like, I moved the wrong direction. I don't think so. I didn't move, you know? So then John and I get to do it. And John connects with me and hits me. And I see stars. I'm like, holy shit. This is...
I know. We're really hazard pay. Really. I've been knocked out twice.
Yeah, so yeah, in that fight scene, I took a couple of hits there, you know, and I think my voice went up a few octaves during that scene, too. No, they did put in the stuntman to get hit in the balls. I just want you to know, that wasn't me, that was a stuntman.
Oh, I would hope so, man. Woo!
Please, body double.
No doubt. After being rocked in the old noggin a couple of times, the last thing you want are the boys getting hit.
Oh my God. Right. Talk about
it. You mentioned that about Dick Warlock. Did you realize at the time that was the guy who played Michael Myers in part two? Of Halloween?
Nope. Didn't know that until right now. Seriously, I didn't know that.
That's awesome. Right, yeah. Here.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
That's yeah. That's yeah. He's probably. He's,
I should put that on my resume.
Shoot, yeah. And how long did it how long did it take for them to make the fake head?
Oh, way too long. It was not fun. it took a few hours. I think the company was called Real Effects, and you know they do a mold. So the problem with this whole thing, it sounds real exciting, except I had a freeze on screaming, so that you know I'm screaming. Ah! Which everybody wants in their photos. And so that meant I had to keep my mouth open as they cover my whole face in this goop. And I have straws in my nose and the goop is going down my throat and they have a vacuum trying to catch it all before I gag to death. And that took way too long. And then they cover you in like plaster of Paris, like when you get a cast, you know, like when we're broke your arm. It's that same gauze and then plaster, and the whole thing is the goop was ice cold, so instant margarita headache. The plaster was really hot, so it felt good for a second. You're going, oh yeah, the headache's going away. Oh my God, this is hot. This is, you know, your little inner monologue is like going crazy. You're going, okay, this is uncomfortable. And then adding insult to injury, they take an air saw. You know, the same thing they use to cut off the cast.
And right.
Across your head. So it sounds like, and the guy warned, you know, tells you, this, you won't get cut from this. Oh, okay. But it sounds like that thing is going through your brain. So they take it in half, open it up, and the guy goes, oh, no. I think we're going to have to do this again. And I said, no, you're going to make this work because I'm not doing it again. Wow. And it worked.
It turned out beautiful.
Hey, geez, it's holding up better than I. It's amazing.
And that's what I was gonna say. Like it didn't deteriorate. It looks like very much at all, really. Like I can't really
cracks. You know, there's cracks. It's so funny because when I do occasionally a convention, I allow any of the fans to come and hold the head and take pictures with me holding the head. Oh my God, I have pictures of people doing rude things to that. you know, I really want to I tell them now, just be careful. Can't be replaced. But right. You know, there's all sorts of kisses, all sorts of stuff. That it gets a lot of activity.
Speaking of Speaking of conventions, I think you may be sneak peeking on my notes there, Ron, but speaking of conventions, a lot of conventions have been opening up. I went to actually my first convention with my son, his first convention. Got to meet Bill Moseley, Alice Cooper. I mean, there was a lot of really great actors, directors. I mean, just all kinds of people. Are you currently in the con circuit right now?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to be. The last convention we did was Flashback Weekend, which amazing. Mike and Mia Kurz, they're awesome hosts, and their convention, if you can get a chance to go next year, oh my God, it's incredible. No, nobody wants Junior
awesome.
Ethel. We're unloved. Nobody cares about us.
Oh, now you shut your dirty whore mouth.
guys know anybody. We're open for convention. Carol, you know, for a while, awesome. She was into it. I mean, she's a little iffy, but she loved it. The last two conventions, she had so much fun. And so she, even this last time when we left, she goes, God, let's do more of these. So, yeah, my agent's Sean Clark with Convention All-Stars. He's the best. He's awesome.
Yes. So
they can contact Sean, and boy, we'll be there.
Get Ron awesome. And Carol awesome. There, which yeah. I swear, again, you are looking at my notes because I wanted to know what it was like working with Carol as Ethel, as your mom. All right, because I know there what had to have been numerous outtakes.
Like, what do you think it was like dealing with that crazy woman?
No. I know, right? But absolutely have to be just, you know, loads of hilarity.
Oh, we didn't stop laughing. And she also enjoyed hitting me. Wait a minute. I'm getting abused here by a lot of actors and actresses.
Quite a few times, as you've already mentioned.
Right? Punching bag. No, she's awesome. She's so awesome that, I mean, we fed each other. We, you know, there's, in some cases, improv involved, and we just clicked. Sure. I mean, we truly just clicked to the point where now, of course, I call her on Mother's Day. And actually, I just sent her and her husband, not my real father, you know, my illegitimate father. No, I sent her T-shirts with her picture on it. There's a caricature and one with her picture on it. One says, shut the fuck up. Big dildo, you know. I mean, she loved it. Called him fancy, and
that's awesome.
It's good to have that relationship. I mean, it really is a special relationship that formed from the film and has continued on to this day.
That's that. Yeah. I mean, and you know what, that really makes, I would think, a, you know, the filming process as daunting and as exhausting as it can be to have that kind of relationship with somebody that you're going to play very close to as an actress or actor. It has to make that process just a little bit better, you know, and really make it worthwhile when you can have that kind of camaraderie with you know, another actor or actress.
Well, it makes it a lot easier on you as far as being able to work like with Carol or with Dee, because it's not work, you know?
Right,
it's really
right.
It's not work. It is something that you click into a certain energy that's really rewarding. And you're not thinking, you know, if you, as an actor, if you're thinking about acting, then you're in trouble.
You're not acting.
You're not, right. You're not acting. You've got to be in that moment and reacting off of what is happening with you and around you and letting that emotion and energy affect you.
Right.
And the true actors, I mean, like method actors can trigger into that energy take after take after take, know, it's one thing to have a natural reaction. If I said something to you that caused you to cry, you know, yes, that's real. That's emotion. But if I asked you to do that six times in a row, it might not be as powerful. But
as the first time, right?
Right. But some method actors and actors that can tap into that source, and actually some of them could even build it up more and more. I mean,
you know, the funny thing is, and my oldest daughter, who blessed me with my first grandchild, she is not an actress, never even really wanted to be, but on the drop of a dime, she could force tears. She does it to my son-in-law all the time. That's all she has to do to get her way. Just the next thing you know, tears are streaming. It's like, how do you do that on command? So that's what that reminded me of. But yeah, there's a difference there. That's awesome. Where did you fit into all of that when it came to good?
Working the parents or
No, you know, your character there, Junior.
I mean, method acting in my character, actually, believe it or not, it came in, it comes in when you have to shoot scenes over and over again. So like my little screaming scene through the forest and tears and all that, my gas tank on my motorcycle was primer gray. Okay, there's a method to my madness here. It was primer gray. My grandfather, who I was extremely close to, his casket was that same color gray. So as soon as I was able to look down at that color, it's called substitution. I would take that moment, think about my grandfather, and I can get into that. Anytime I want.
Wow. I can understand that. You know, I've lost, you know, my mother, my grandparents, who, you know, my grandparents I was very close to, and certain things will just remind me. I don't even need to see anything or smell anything, just that thought, and I break down in tears. I mean, just bam, the waterfalls, you know.
You're human.
Did you take anything from anybody else? We've had a few, actors on here in the past during the Summer of Slaughter who have said that they kind of took this and that to make their character. Did you have to do anything? Yeah,
no.
I mean,
what I took was, there was a neighbor when we were growing up. I have two older brothers, and there was a neighbor who was kind of sort of a friend of my brother's that was goofy as hell, and just, he was, I mean, the rulers got talked, and I mean, because he's what I relied on, you know. I was discovered during a showcase by Fern, Pamela Basker and Fern Champion. They were at a showcase I was at doing a little scene, and it was a serious dramatic scene. And they asked me if I could play a hillbilly. And I went just right into my brother's friend, goofy, even his body language, the way he, you know, just everything. And they were busting up. So I repeated that same character with a few other mannerisms and going deeper into it in the audition. And Danny Steinman, I'm probably getting ahead of you. I'm sorry.
Danny, please continue.
He loved me, man. He was awesome. I cracked him up and I got a call back and I met Frank Mancuso Jr. and he was laughing. And then a day later, I got put on hold to shoot Repetition, not Friday the 13th, part five. It was called Repetition.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That was the original title, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot set. They didn't want us to know what we were working on.
That was something else. I don't know, Jackal Monkey. Am I taking this out of your mouth? Because
I was actually about to ask. I was gonna ask that because that's what I had heard. Was that that the name had been changed to kind of not to sort of mislead you guys, or to not, you know, bring about, you know, the idea that you were in fact in the next Friday the 13th film.
You know, it was interesting because I'm sure John Shepard, you know, there's not a doubt in my mind, because, you know, when you're the lead actor in a film, I'm sure he knew. I think Melanie, because at Flashback, you know, I was just with her, I think she mentioned she knew most of us were in the dark. And, you know, it was kind of exciting because we're all sitting there the first day of shooting and all BSing with each other, you know. And of course, the question of the day was, so how do you die?
Yeah, right?
You know, because none of us know each other. I started a new John Robert Dixon and Mark Vittorini just from casting, and, you know, that was pretty cool. And so, you know, we're all talking story, you know. Miguel Nunez, you know, he's talking about, well, I get a spear checked through an outhouse and it kills me. And, you know, well, I get decapitated. It's just pretty funny. And at that moment, I mean, the timing couldn't have been more perfect. Tom Morga walks by. He's in the full jumpsuit, the mask, and a machete. And he looks at every single one of us in the eye. And all of a sudden, we're all, oh my God, we're in a Friday the 13th. I can't believe we're Friday the 13th.
So that was actually the first time you realized that you were in a Friday the 13th movie is when fucking Jason comes out and looks and stares at you.
That's
so awesome.
Wow.
And Tom's awesome. I was just with him. He's cool. I haven't
had the pleasure of meeting him yet, but
unreal.
Just totally. That's awesome. No, well, we already talked about filming props. We got that out of the way real quick. Is that the only filming prop that you got? Did you get anything else from that movie? Just your own decapitated head.
Well, that came a couple years later.
Right. It
wasn't, you know, I think you might have heard the story here or there. I was on an audition and I saw Science of Real Effects. I knocked on the door. It was like going into Costco of horror. I mean, there were body parts everywhere, dinosaurs, limbs, you name it. And I told the guy, I go, you guys made my head for the movie Friday the 13th Part 5. I'd like to be able to buy it from you. And that's how I said it. And the guy made a comment. He's all, hey, man, your head's been working more than you have.
Oh, my God.
Thanks a lot. He goes, no. He goes, I'm sorry to say we blew off the back of your head in a film last week. And he goes, follow me. So yeah, this head does have the back end gone. So I follow him and there's my head sitting up way up on a shelf next to Sylvester Stallone from Rambo.
This whole awesome.
So we're in like alphabetical order and he takes it down, puts it in the bag. He goes, here, man, take it. Enjoy. I'm like all excited and I'm leaving. It was Las Palmas Studios. And as I'm leaving the lot, I see Arnold Schwarzenegger in a big terry cloth robe, smoking a cigar. I think he was shooting True Lies. And here I got a head in a bag and I'm thinking, wow, I want to talk to him. And then I thought, dude, you have a head in the bag. It might be considered stolen, even though the guy gave it to you. Get the hell off the lot. So I left. But that's how I got it.
That's awesome.
No, that's so an awesome. Absolutely great story. I think you also, I want to get out of the Friday the 13th for a minute because you met the great Dudley Moore.
I did? Well, I actually did, but that wasn't in any film.
No, maybe not in any film, but I believe I heard that you had had met Dudley Moore, well, or that he had attended a party. It was a relative of his that was on a shoot.
Well, that's close? Interesting because I met Dudley Moore actually at I used to work at a casting facility on on La Cienega and Melrose. It was called Baker Nesbitt. And Dudley Moore was dating, I believe it was Abby Lane at the time. And she came in for an audition. And Dudley was escorting her. So when we saw Dudley, we were like, hey, come in the back room and you can watch her audition on the monitor. And we had a huge stuffed teddy bear that was sitting in a chair. I mean, bigger than Dudley Moore. That's how big this thing was. And so he sat in the lap of the teddy bear. It was so cool. I wish I had a picture of it. It would have been priceless.
He seems like a super funny guy.
Oh, he was a sweetheart. He was a sweetheart. But that's cool, man. I don't know how you found that out. That's pretty cool.
I just watched past interviews.
Oh, wow.
That's about the extent of my...
my past is catching up to me. Holy shit.
It really is. I know, right?
Oh, you got another really good one that has to do with this past, too, Otis, don't you?
With who?
Which one?
You're not a girlfriend from 1972, are you?
I mean, that's the one. That's the one, because that's the year I was born.
Oh, yeah. Don't make me feel
that. But no, whenever it was the
The
page.
Yes, you had a job as what's called a page.
Oh yeah.
During the let me preface this by saying that me and my wife are huge on the family. All of the 1970s where you could pretty much say everything that you can't say now type sitcoms. Huge fans. You had a job, actually. They call it a page. Why don't you explain what a page is?
Well, I actually did it for a couple years at $135 a week. But
it'd be worth it.
The opportunity was insane. I worked all of the Norman Lear shows. So you had All in the Family, Different Strokes, Facts of Life, One Day at a Time, Maude.
Every single one I watched.
They had the Golden Girls at one point.
Happy Days in Norman?
No, Happy Days wasn't, but I did take an improv comedy class with Big Al. Big Al from Happy Days.
Yes. That's awesome.
Al Molinaro, great guy.
Yep.
Great guy. But yeah, a page is a glorified usher. I'd be in my little blue polyester suit with a little tie, and the actors would give us a guest list because these were live, tape shows, but you do two shows a night. And so Sally Struthers would give me a list that, you know, her parents were coming or whoever, and you see them first, and then you bring in the audience, which these guys waited in line for hours to watch these shows. And so I was very fortunate because before the show, they would always have a comedian come out and do a warm-up, get the audience laughing and just get them hot. Right. And Norman Lear then, and he's still, the guy's like 99 years old. He's so fantastic. I love this man. He would come out for a couple minutes to really take it over the top from the warm-up guy. And he would always pick somebody from the studio audience to play Meathead or Edith, you know, depending on what show he's doing. He did this with every show. So being a page, I was told, he'd ask for volunteers and I could never volunteer. And I was born. Don't do this. You can't do this. I always wanted to do it, but, Well, one night nobody was volunteering. And Norman said, hey, Ron, why don't you come down here and play Meathead? I was impressed that he even knew my name. I mean, this is Norman Lear, man. I came
right
down and we're doing this little improv of Archie and Meathead. And the audience is busting up and he's busting up. he looked at me and he goes, "Hey man, you're really funny." He goes, "Go see my casting director, Jane Murray, and tell her I sent you."
That's badass.
He was awesome. After that, I got like little one-liners and stuff called special business, where you're a character, but you might not have dialogue. You're not an extra. You're like one step above. You got residuals and it's union scale and all this, but you know, they'd interact with you like Pat Harrington from One Day at a Time. He would always like pat me on the back or shake my hand or something. And they would say to me, "Whatever you do, don't shake his hand in the second show." I'm like, okay. Cause that would upgrade me to an actual, like one of the buddy right. character. So he pat me on the back. He knew exactly what he was doing. So I thanked him for it. And that's how I got started. And I got to like go up into the director's booth during a lot of, like in my off time. Mm-hmm. I would go up there, and they shot a lot of shows at Metro Media Channel 11. It's now Fox. But I mean, I did specials. I worked the Johnny Cash show, Everly Brothers. Yeah. I mean, a lot of Dinosaur, Steve Allen. Steve Allen got me my union card. I mean, this was like stuff. You know?
Wow.
Oh, no, this was real. I met top stars. I got to work the award shows. I was the guy in the tuxedo escorting stars off stage to go through the press room. So I did like the People's Choice Awards, the Golden Globes. And here I remember specifically escorting Sally Fields and Burt Reynolds off stage.
Oh my goodness.
Back there watching the whole scenario. It was cool. Great experience for a 21-year-old kid.
I was just getting ready to ask, you know, while you're doing all of these things, you know, how old were you? And you just answered that. Wow. Yeah. Most people are, you know, most guys at 21. I know I was, you know, I was like, "Oh yeah, let's go to a bar. I haven't done that." You're like, "I'm escorting Burt Reynolds." Move along.
Well, I had just come back from, I went to college up at Humboldt State in Northern California. Now that I remember that I went to college at Humboldt State.
I mean, it is the Green Triangle.
Yes, it was in the Green Triangle. And so this is my first gig after getting out of college. So,
now, did you go to college for acting in particular? Yeah. That was something you actually wanted to do life?
That was my major. And I found myself kind of in a predicament. Not that there's... I just saw that, okay, why am I doing this? I want to be an actor, and a college degree at the time is not going to get me that.
Right.
And I was doing some, I wrote a play and started to do a little screenwriting. And I thought, you know, I just have to go back home, go back to LA and give it a shot. And I ended up in a Shakespearean repertory company, Will Gear. Will Gear was Grandpa Walton on TV's Walton's Mountain. So I would say 90% of our viewers are going, "What? Who?"
Probably.
Yeah, you know, that's an old show. I'm definitely dating myself. But I was in his repertory company for 3 years. So I had 3 years of method acting, 3 years of comedy. Improv with Harvey Limbeck, Al Molinaro. I mean, in Harvey's class, Robin Williams was in his class along with John Ritter. I'm in the next division with Scott Baio, Chachi.
Chachi.
Holy shit.
There was radio DJ Rick Dees. Rick was in the class. I mean, we had a lot of fun. Rick was on the radio at the time. So I would call in. He'd go, "Okay, man, can you call in at like 6:35 a.m. and I'm going to work a skit with you?" Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, it was cool.
That's awesome.
I don't even know what to say now. This is so off my radar. I'm just, I mean, please continue.
No, it was just, I was very lucky. Very lucky.
No, that is really awesome. It's such a, you know, a young age, early 20s, and you know, all of these things, all of these people are right in front of you, and this is what you want to do. Yeah. You know, with your life, and here you are, you know, escorting, you know. Yeah, I mean,
the hard part was you're on the edge of it. You're still looking right into it. You're seeing all the success around you, all these stars, tons of stars.
Yeah.
And you're so close to the flame, but you just, you know, it only took 50 years, you know, that's all.
I mean, well, if you got the time, I mean, what else would you have done?
That's it. You know, it's quite interesting. It really
What's been your favorite role to do throughout your career, whether it be TV, because you also did some TV stuff. And I want to bring this up because I found over here on cinemorg.fandom.com, it has some of your film deaths, that bringing up Junior decapitated with a meat cleaver by a quote-unquote Jason impersonator. And also Tales from the Dark Side, A Serpent's Tooth from 1986. You accidentally, that's the key word, transformed into a slice of date nut bread. Can you please elaborate?
I hate when that happens, you know? I was gluten-free. I just want you to know I was gluten-free date nut bread that I turned into.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that really changes anything in my head, because I still need to know how the hell that happened.
I grew up watching that all the time. I can't remember it. I don't know. This doesn't that episode doesn't ring a bell. I would think it would.
I played a football jock on it. And so I had my little Letterman's jacket. And Joanne Ouellette was my girlfriend. And I believe she was in like Halloween 2. I know she was in one of the Halloween movies. I believe somebody will correct me out there, I'm sure.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that was my first stage kiss. Might have been awesome. My kiss too. Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't the kiss. It wasn't the kiss that turned you into a slice of date.
Renee Taylor wore an amulet. It was a salt, this little salt crystal. And if she was touching the crystal and saying something, whatever she was saying would come true. Like her son, Joanne was leaving the house and she's wearing like 9-inch spike heels. And the mother's holding the crystal and she said, "You're gonna go outside like that? With those type of shoes, you could break your leg." And all of a sudden you hear her scream and she broke her leg. And her son was reading a book by candlelight and she's holding a little amulet and she goes, "You're reading by candlelight? Well, you can go blind." And next thing you know, the kid's screaming, "I can't see, I can't see." So,
oh my God.
I'm stuffing my face.
Oh.
With date nut bread. And
I can't think of this now.
Yeah, I'm drinking a beer, stuffing my face with date nut bread. And I look at her and I go, "Hey, can I have another slice of date nut bread?" And she's grabbing the little amulet and she goes, "Another slice? You're gonna turn into one."
You can turn into one. Yep. Bam.
Date nut bread sitting on a chair, and Joanne Ouellette has a little piece of Tupperware that has my name on it, and she's putting it in the Tupperware, and she's all, "Oh, Barry." And I end up.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Death, you know.
I have to go back and watch that.
That's awesome.
We've kind of alluded on this earlier, and that was 13 Fanboy. How excited are you? You mentioned this earlier. The cast is
the best role I've ever had in my life. Just being fortunate enough to work with these top actors. I mean, everybody. There was no, you know, I can think of a film I did many years ago. Now, I'll keep it off the radar, but the gentleman who I acted with was overacting. He, you know, a good kid, but it wasn't real. Right. There was a real moment between us. And I felt struggling at the time just to make it happen and keep myself at a very professional level. But this with 13 fanboy, everybody. And I witnessed, you know, I was there for a couple of weeks, so I got to watch other actors work together. There were no weak moments. There wasn't a time that I walked away thinking, God, you know, anything. I mean, everything was strong. Everything.
That's awesome.
Beyond impressed with everything. And Deborah Voorhees, she was amazing on this. Yeah. You know, I mean, she, and you know, we had a fantastic cinematographer, Ben Meredith. The guy's amazing. What an eye. I mean, when you see the quality of this film, this is 80s horror. This isn't CGI, you know, where they
right.
people inside out and the blood splatters on the wall, but you guys know it wasn't real blood.
Yeah.
This shit looks real. I mean, this is like, this is the
That's
good
awesome.
Stuff.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, go ahead.
Nora Hewitt, Tom Savini's protege, actually is the one who did the special effects, right?
Yeah, she did it. Yeah, her and also Meg Wilbur, who was also Tom's protege. They tag teamed people there.
Awesome.
The shoot took something like 34 days. So, yeah, I got to witness some folks get some pretty interesting makeup. That's pretty cool.
I mean, to watch anything, whether it's Tom Savini personally or just, you know, a protege of his, to watch that amount of talent go into, yeah, it's got to be amazing.
And that's a talent, man. That's a talent. You know.
Oh, for sure.
That's what's going to bring it home, I think, for the audience is, I mean, this is... I'm fortunate. I'm very fortunate. You know, they wrote the part for me. So that's where I feel, thank my lucky stars. Thank you, Deborah. You know, Deborah wrote it with Joe Paul Reisig, who's got probably like about 28 films to his name. And so it's interesting. It's interesting. I do believe this is going to be one of those classic thriller slash horror that will play every year at Halloween time. And it's definitely something that many of the collectors will want in their collection. You know, I don't
awesome.
Know if it's going to be a new franchise or not. No idea. No idea. I mean, anything can happen.
Sure.
But yeah, Deborah definitely shows her talent.
Now, let me ask you, and this is one of the last things I want to ask you as we got about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes here with you. A lot of people, now I know you've heard this on numerous interviews and talks, a lot of people in the Friday the 13th franchise, fans that is, were not very happy with part five. You know, because of the whole Jason thing and this and that. And we also see the same thing going to Halloween in part three, because there wasn't a Michael Myers. This wasn't
Wait,
the real Jason.
That. Oh my God.
I know, right? Breaking news.
You're teaching me way too much tonight. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, what is your response to that? Because I think when, especially myself, I can't speak for everyone, but especially myself, when I think Friday the 13th Part 5, I think of Junior and Ethel.
Oh, thank you.
I do.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was comedic. I can overlook it was the paramedic, you know, who's pissed off because his son got hacked up, whatever. I can overlook that, but it was a very entertaining watch, you know. Don't take
Absolutely.
It too damn serious.
Well, you know, it was
and
taken
that's...
serious at first. So at first, yeah, I mean, it was hard reading some of the comments and critics and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the saving grace, I still have the clip. There was one in Variety and one in Hollywood Reporter that mentioned Carol and I. But, you know, they, I think they called us the hammy hillbillies or something. But at least we were mentioned. Right. You know, any review is still a good review, even if it's a bad review. At least they're.
Absolutely.
Oh, Otis and I both definitely agreed that you two definitely stole the show as far as we were concerned. Like, yeah, I mean, the entire cast with part five, really, I mean, in my opinion, it had one of the strongest casts as far as characters. You know what I mean? Like, I actually cared about everybody in part five. I wasn't annoyed by certain people like, oh, I can't wait for them to die. I actually loved everybody in part five.
Well, you know, like you think of Tiffany, you know, Tiffany Brooke Myers, Tiffany, you know, she's a character. She was such a distinct character. And I was with her at a convention a while back. She's a sweetie, you know, I mean, she's awesome. She would have been at the reunion at Flashback, but she lives in Canada and couldn't get back into the U.S. So,
yeah.
Yeah, everybody, and it's so funny because, well, you know, Mark Vittorini, good guy, he played Vic. You know, I knew Mark because I worked at a casting facility on, as I mentioned before, on Melrose. So Mark would come in for auditions, and we sort of became friends. And then when we were in the movie together, after that, we really became friends because he'd come on auditions. Ron, hey, man, what's happening? You know, and same with John Mark Dixon. And, yeah, no, it's just interesting. It's the whole thing is, I don't think there is a fake Jason. And I'll clarify this. Tom, who was the stuntman, he played Jason a number of times. So does that make it a fake Jason if he was a real Jason? Just got to say.
Yep.
Now, yeah, Dick was the copycat Jason. And Jason never dies. And Dick died, so... But Jason still lives. So I don't know. There's a confusion. I think we all might lose sleep over this tonight. But
I mean, quite possibly. And unfortunately, we don't have enough time on the show to dive into it. But
good.
You got that right. Because I got to pee soon. No.
Right now, yeah.
You're peeing right now.
Oh man,
Ron, I want to thank you so much. And I know I speak for myself, Jackal Monkey, everybody in the chat. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out. We were supposed to talk, I think, about a month ago. I got some kind of weird stomach bug or something hit me about an hour before the show. I didn't have to do many notes because I had already pre-prepared for our previous, you know, talk. So. But I thank you all the same for joining us again and coming back. 13 Fanboy, October 22nd. Now, when does the new trailer that you spoke of, when does that drop?
I believe it's the first week of October.
The first week of October, look for the new 13 Fanboy trailer.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure it will be also posted like on Facebook and social media. It will get out there. I'm shocked that it hasn't snuck out yet. So it's...
Leave it to the internet, huh?
It's amazing. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, my God.
I can't wait. You're this excited. I can't wait to see this. So October 1st, 13 Fanboy, the latest trailer. Don't miss that one. And then, of course, 21 days later, October 22nd.
It's going to be stellar. Stellar.
And you said it's like an 80s. There, you know, Deborah has gone back to that 80s. It's none of that CGI crap.
Zero CGI. Yeah.
That's what I like to hear.
That's what we like here at 9/11 Dreads. We love them practical effects, that good old 70s, 80s. type slasher. Ron, again, thank you. If I can just put you in the backstage so we can say goodbye off live, and we're gonna get off here. Thank you again, sir.
And thank you, listeners. Really appreciate it.
Awesome.
No, thank you.
We'll speak to you here in just one moment. Man, what a great show again, man. Another home run in the Summer of Slaughter, Junior.
Oh yeah,
Robert. Man, that was awesome.
To work with all the to see all those legends and work with all those legends. I mean, that's insane. Like
I know, and here we're scratching where it don't itch to try and get Bill Moseley on the damn show. You know what I mean? I met him at the con, but you know, I just like to, you know, talk to him like we did. Hey, regardless, Ron, man, was such a great guest, man. I'm glad everybody enjoyed it. This will, as always, every week be up on our YouTube channel. We don't have, again, still yet, one of those really cool YouTube.com/Night of the Living Dreads. We ain't got that yet. We ain't that good. Hell, we just started getting the YouTube page up, but it's coming. But that's where you can go. Just go to YouTube, search the Night of the Living Dreads podcast, and I have a whole playlist of all the guests. Mr. Ron Sloan. I keep wanting to just say Hubbard. I keep forgetting the junior part. But yes, you'll be able to check this one out here just in a few hours. So thank you guys. Thank you, Jackal Monkey. Yeah. Don't forget nightlivingdreads.com. Nightmare Ninja.
Nightmare Ninja Studios.
Man, you ain't gonna get an outro. You ain't gonna get an outro like that anywhere. We'll see you guys real soon.
Later, guys.